let me indicate whom we're expecting in this meeting. We're expecting Honorable Pikane from Eastern Cape, Ranto from Eastern Cape, from Free State, Darren White is here. Houteng Mabi is here, Bobby Natal, Kuzulu, Magana, Kamede, Mpumalanga, okay, apology for Kamede. Mpumalanga, we're expecting Temba, Northern Cape, we're expecting Mokoro, and Gunda, Limpopo province. We're expecting Mashamaiti, no longer a member. Makunyan, has it been? Oh, okay. And then we're also expecting Mashangu, Northwest. We're expecting Makate and Schoenewald. Western Cape, we're expecting De Villiers and Donald. Oh, the gun has just joined us. Matrican, you're welcome.
Thank you, Zanon.
Okay. Maybe before we start with the agenda and any other thing, we need to do introductions. Let me first introduce myself, then after allow members to introduce themselves, and any other person who comes from Parliament to introduce themselves, then after we'll hand over to our visitors. My name is Peace Mabi. I'm the chair of this committee. I am from Gauteng Province.
Good morning. My name is Daryl Worth. I'm a member of this committee and I'm from the Free State province.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Noltando Kukane. I'm the member of this committee from the Eastern Cape.
I'm Maria Solomons, committee secretary to the committee.
Good morning, Tasneem Matthews, researcher to the committee.
Good morning, I'm long-term executive assistant to the chairperson.
All right, I'll then hand over to the department. I don't know who's leading the delegation and whether you're going to introduce your storage, or you're going to allow them to introduce themselves, whatever way is fine.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning. My name is Francois Beekman. I'm the Executive Director of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate. To my right is Ms. Lindelwa Nonjanduka, who's our Parliamentary Liaison Officer. And then to the left of myself is Mr. Matthew Sissoko, who's our current Acting Chief Director of Investigations. And then we've got our acting provincial head in the Free State, Mr. Isra Khamanyani. That is our delegation.
Everyone who's present here must introduce themselves so that we should know who is here.
Thanks, Chair. I'm Lindelwa Nonjanduka from IPID. I'm the PLO for the department.
Thank you, Chair. Susan Williams from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
I'm Sue Seeger from Independent Newspapers at Parliament.
Good morning. I'm Michelle O'Connor from Media 24.
I'm Kylie from the Commission for Gender Equality.
I'm Kylie from the Commission for Gender Equality.
Hello, I'm Kate Tisdale from the Commission for Gender Equality.
Thank you very much. You're all welcome. We met today to deal with to listen to the briefing by the department, the Independent Police Investigative Directorate on Domestic Violence Act report. Members, you can see the report dates back as far as 2010. I don't know how often do you update your information and as to whether do you have the latest report, because that will assist us. But because of you are here, we'll give you the opportunity to present, and once you finish, then we can then agree on how to make a follow-up and maybe finding a way of inviting you to come and present to us on your latest report. Is that okay? Okay.
Sure. Over to you then.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, for the opportunity to discuss the 2010 report with you. Maybe just, I think for record purposes, it's quite important to indicate that since 1 April 2012, the Independent Police Investigative Directorate is active. Under the old ICD, the DVA report and this report was part of our core business. That have changed now, although we will report, of course, on 2010 and 2011, hopefully later this year. But since 1 April 2012, this function regarding the DVA has been given to the Secretariat, the National Secretariat of Police. So we aren't any more focusing on that. We're currently focusing really on serious crimes committed by members of SAPS and the MPS. And there is really five core areas we're focusing on. Deaths in custody, deaths as a result of police action, issues of rape and torture. So there is still a focus on human rights issues regarding women and children. So that's still part of our core business. But in terms of DVA, that's not anymore with us. In terms of our tabling of reports, these reports have been tabled a long time ago, I think, at Parliament. We will also be tabling our last report for this purpose later next month. So we will be happy to come to your committee and also give that report. Maybe just to indicate that there's also onus on the South African Police Service to every 6 months submit a report on our reports. And I think that's maybe an issue that members want to engage on as we go along. I'll then ask Mr. Matthew Sissoko, who is our Chief Director Investigations, then to start, and he will then be followed by Mr. Khamanyane. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. In terms of our presentation, we're going to take you through the erstwhile ICD legislative mandate, the types of non-compliance, ICD functions before the IPS Act came into operation 1st April 2012, the DVA national intake, general to December 2010, the non-compliance with DVA by description, application for exemptions, overview, 2009 versus 2010, intake and application for exemptions, comparison with regards to intake and applications, overview of disposal, matters which we considered during our audits, overall level of compliance, proactive oversight that we do, awareness campaigns that we do, as well as workshops that we conducted and the challenges we experienced. Now, the Domestic Violence Act makes provision that any failure by a member of the South African Police Services to comply with an obligation imposed in terms of the Domestic Violence Act or a national instruction referred to in subsection 3 constitute a misconduct as contemplated in that Act. And the ICD must forthwith be informed of any such failure reported by the South African Police Services. And therefore, unless the ICD directs otherwise in any specific case, the SAPS must institute disciplinary proceedings against any member who allegedly failed to comply with an obligation. And the Act also provides that ICD must every 6 months submit a report to Parliament regarding the number and particulars of matters reported to it and set out recommendations made in respect of such matters. And the National Commissioner of the SAPS must every 6 months submit a report to Parliament regarding steps taken as a result of recommendations by the Independent Complaints Directorate. Now, the type of non-compliance that the ICD will look at is failure to arrest the abuser if an offense of violence has been committed, failure to arrest alleged transgressor where a warrant has been issued, failure to dispatch a police vehicle to a scene of domestic violence, failure to establish whether a person has a valid license to possess a firearm, failure to inform a victim on where and how to access alternative shelter if available, failure to inform victims of their options in terms of the Domestic Violence Act, failure to inform the victim on where or how to access counseling services where required, failure to inform victim on where and how to obtain a protection order, failure to keep a copy of the protection order after it has been issued from our courts, failure to locate the victim and establish whether they are safe, failure to note reasons why no charge or arrest was made, failure to note the incident in a domestic violence register, SAP 508, failure to open a docket and refer the matter to the National Prosecuting Authority for decision to prosecute, failure to search and seize arms and ammunition, failure to seize dangerous weapon, failure to take statements, witness statements, failure to inform the victim on where and how to access medical assistance, failure to issue notice against the alleged transgressor to appear in court, failure to complete a medical report, K88, and other relevant information. With regard to our function, what we do would refer these non-compliance matters for investigation to the South African Police Services for them to take disciplinary action. We would also conduct DVA audits to look at the level of compliance by the SAPS with regard to the Act. We would also process applications for exemption where the police officers, the South African Police Service, refer these applications for exemptions to ourselves. We will also do awareness campaigns to make our communities in general about the Domestic Violence Act and importantly the obligations of the South African Police Services in terms of this Act. We will also conduct workshops with SAPS members where we get specific requests by SAPS to conduct these workshops or where we see a need based on the specific circumstances. We'll conduct these workshops with the police. In terms of the national DVA intake for the period January 2010 to December 2010, you'll see that the numbers vary from province to province. Our highest intake came from Western Cape, with a 23% share, which was followed by Gauteng 21% and Free State 18%. And the total number of the intake for January 2010 to December 2010 is 113 matters. Now these are the matters that mostly were received by ICD. With regard to non-compliance with DVA by description, this is now the actual matters that we received. For January to June as well as July to December 2010, you will see that failure to arrest the abuser if an offense of violence has been committed has the highest number, 14 for January to June and 17 for July to December, followed by failure to arrest the alleged transgressor where a warrant has been issued, 17 and 9 respectively. And other non-compliance matters, you see the numbers are low. We also have or experienced a reasonably high number in terms of failure to open a docket and refer a matter to the National Prosecuting Authority for a decision, as well as slide 11, failure to issue notice against the alleged transgressor to appear in court. These would be matters where after the victim has obtain a protection order, he or she will go to the police station to have it served, and then sometimes it will sit at the police station without being served for some time. I will move on to application for exemptions 12. With regard to application for exemption, you realize that the numbers are relatively low for the period January to June 2010, as well as July to December 2010. In total, the applications that were received is 21, with the highest applications received coming from Gauteng at 8 and Free State at 6. When you look at slide 13, which compares intake versus application looking at 2009 and 2010, you'll realize that in 2009 the intake was higher at 123 as compared with 2010 with the intake of 113. As well as the application for exemption, you realize that for 2009 it was 27, whereas in 2010 it was only 22. The highest numbers coming from Gauteng and Free State. When we look at slide 14, the comparisons thereof, intake versus application for an exemption. For January to June 2010, you see the total intake there is 54, whereas the application that were received for exemption is only 9. But what is important to note is that the applications that were received for the period January to June, it's only 2, whereas we had received 54 cases for that period. And the other 7 that were received were applications for matters that happened before the period of January to June. So 2 for July to December 2010, the intake sits at 59, with the applications for the period under review, which is July to December, only 3 applications received, and the rest of the applications, 10, coming from outside that period. That is, matters happened that happened before July to June 2010. Mr. Khamanyane will take you through slide 15 onwards. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I will deal with the overview slide in respect of disposal of matters January 2010 to June 2010. Most of the issues there that I want to emphasize is in respect of the manner of disposal. We've got substantiated. And there is where there is a prima facie case against subs member, and unsubstantiated where there are no substance in respect of the allegations made by the complainant. That's when we complete and close the matters. Then we also close the matter as withdrawal, where the complainant comes and withdraw the case. When you look at the respective provinces, I'll start with Gauteng. For the period under review, Gauteng, out of 9 cases received, 1 case was closed as unsubstantiated, and 2 were closed as substantiated. In 6 cases, the ICD awaits the response from SAPS. This particular response is in respect of whether they are continuing with the departmental steps against the SAPS member involved or they apply for exemption. The Western Cape, out of 13 cases received, 1 case was closed as unsubstantiated, and in 12 cases, the ICD awaits the response from SAPS. KZN, out of 6 cases received, 3 cases were closed as unsubstantiated, and in 3 cases the ICD awaits response from SAPS. Eastern Cape, out of 3 cases received, 1 case was closed as unsubstantiated, and in 1 case the ICD awaits response from SAPS, and 1 matter is still under investigation, was still under investigation by the ICD. Limpopo, out of 3 cases received, the ICD awaits response from SAPS in all 3 cases, meaning that there was nothing in respect of substantiated and SAP, or they are waiting for the exemption application for exemptions from SAPS. Mpumalanga, there, out of 3 cases received, one case the member was given a verbal warning, and in 1 case the ICD awaits response from SAPS. 1 matter is still under investigation by the ICD. Northwest, out of 2 cases received, the ICD awaits response from all those particular matters which were referred to SAPS. Free State, out of 9 cases received, the ICD awaits response from SAPS in all 9 cases. Northern Cape, out of 6 cases received, 1 case was closed as unsubstantiated, and in 5 cases the ICD awaits response from SAPS. In respect of the disposal for the period July 2010 and to December 2010, I'll start again with Gauteng there. Out of 15 cases received, 2 cases were closed as unsubstantiated and 1 closed as substantiated. In 12 cases, the ICD waits a response from SAPS. Western Cape, out of 13 cases received, 5 cases were pending closure as substantiated, 5 were under investigation, and in 3 cases, the ICD awaits response from SAPS. KZN, out of 3 cases received, 1 case was closed as unsubstantiated, and in 2 cases, the ICD awaits response from SAPS. The Eastern Cape, out of 2 cases received, 1 case closed as unsubstantiated, and 1 case, the ICD awaits response from SAPS. Limpopo, out of 4 cases received, 2 cases were closed as unsubstantiated, and ICD awaits response from SAPS in respect of 2. Mpumalanga, out of 1 case received, and the ICD awaits response with regard to that particular case. Northwest, out of 4 cases, the ICD awaits response from all 4 cases. Free State, out of 11 cases received, 3 cases were closed as unsubstantiated and 1 closed as substantiated, and ICD awaits response from the outstanding 7 cases. Northern Cape, out of 6 cases received, 1 case was closed as unsubstantiated, and the remaining 5 cases, the ICD awaits responses from SAPS. In respect of matters considered during our station audit, we consider the following. We've got the monitoring tool that we are using as and when we visit stations to do our station audits. The monitoring tool has got the following elements. It's a copy of the Domestic Violence Act readily available in the Community Service Center. Is there an updated list of the service providers in the CS Community Service Center? Is there an updated list of service providers in each motor vehicle? These are motor vehicles that are used by the community service centers. So all those particular vehicles must have the list of the service providers. Is there a copy of the National Instruction 7/1999 readily available in the CSC, as well as the Domestic Violence Register SAPS 508B? In the Community Service Center. Are all the reported DVA incidents recorded in the Domestic Violence Register, the 508B, which have got columns there which must be completed in respect of all the incidents there. Are SAPS Form 508A readily available in the Community Service Center and properly maintained? Are all the responses to domestic violence incidents recorded on SAPS Forms 508A. Are the SAPS 206 pocketbook of members thoroughly maintained? In respect of their pocketbook, there must be entries there for all the domestic violence incidents that they have attended to, and that particular pocketbook must talk to the entry on the occurrence book and entry on the 508B. Monthly procedures of file 39/4/2/3 on domestic violence incidents maintained in respect of the monthly returns. Procedures of SAPS 10 occurrence book on DVA thoroughly maintained. All protection orders served, zero outstanding protection orders. As and when we go there, there must be zero outstanding protection orders served. Copies of every protection order received and filed, and copies of every warrant of arrest received and filed. As and when they give the victim the warrant of arrest, the original, then there must be a copy which is kept on the file 39/4/3/1. Female members assign on each and every shift. It is a requirement that each and every shift must have a female member. Is a victim-friendly care center readily available in respect of all the stations? Is a register maintained of all complaints against members in terms of non-compliance to a DVA? This relates to the SAPS 508 in respect of the non-compliance. In cases of non-compliance by members, were disciplinary proceedings instituted? If no steps have been taken against members, did they apply for exemptions to the ICD? Were recommendation steps taken or exemption from disciplinary procedure recorded? Are monthly returns in relation to disciplinary actions adhered to by commanders? The next slide indicates the proactive oversight activities that we have undertaken as the ICD. This relates to the station audits. And for the period of January 2010 to December 2010, January-June 2010, we have done 177, and July-December 2010, we have done 132. And the total there is 249, with the highest for that particular year being Limpopo, followed by the Free State, and Gauteng being the third. The next slide there, the overall level of compliance in respect of the station audits. This is the findings that comes after we have done those particular station audits. So this shows the level of compliance as far as all the stations that we have visited are concerned. The ICD conducted 177 police station audits during the period of January-June 2010, and you'll see that only 24 stations were complying on the level of non-compliant. That particular score put them between 0 and 49%. And 57 stations were complying on a level of fairly compliant. So their score was between 50 and 79%. 84 stations were on a level of substantially compliant. It was between 80 and 99%. And only 12 stations were fully compliant in respect of 100% for that particular period. And when you compare that particular period with the period of July-December 2010, where we have conducted 132 police station audits, you will notice that 25 stations were complying on a level of non-compliant, and 37 were complying on a level of fairly compliant, 56 stations were on a level of substantially compliant. It has dropped from 84 to 57 to 56. And when you look at the improvement, there is only the difference of two in respect of those who compliant at the level of fully compliant from 12 to 14 stations at the level of 100%. The proactive oversight findings. The first one, it was failure to apply for exemption by SAPS management. You have noticed that on the previous tests that Mr. Sasogo has indicated that there's nothing that comes from the management in respect of application for exemption as you compared it with the intake. Lack of understanding of the obligations of the Domestic Violence Act. The record keeping is still a concern in respect of the 508A forms are not filled properly. The 508B registers are not properly completed because you'll find that in some instances they don't complete all the columns that are provided in the particular register. And we'll emphasize with them that it is important to complete each and every column which is there. Some copies of the 508A forms were not filled, although the matters pertaining thereto were registered in the 508B register. The Domestic Violence Act and national instructions not readily available, because the requirement is that as and when you walk in into the community service center, whether it's 12 o'clock during the night or 1 o'clock during the night, as and when you request those, they must be able to give you those particular copies of the Domestic Violence Act and the National Instruction in the CSC. Then you'll find that they will indicate that they've been locked somewhere by the person who's responsible for domestic violence or by the station commander. A list of service providers is not available or updated, and the copies of the protection orders and warrants of arrest were not filled properly. No file of domestic violence warrants kept. The awareness campaigns conducted there for the period January-June 2010, we have done 120, and July-December 2010 is 170. And the total there is 290, with the highest being the Western Cape, followed by Northern Cape, and then the third one is Limpopo. Then the next slide there, the workshops conducted. For January-June 2010, we conducted 17 workshops, and July-December 2010, we conducted 16 workshops. And the total there is 33 workshops conducted. These particular workshops, they depend on the operational requirements of the department and also depends on the request by SAPS management. They will request the IP to come and workshop them on the domestic violence and the national instructions. And also is dependent on the needs in respect of the findings that are there as far as our station audits are concerned. The next slide, the challenges. We managed to come up with five challenges. One, there being some SAPS management do not take disciplinary actions against members. And some SAPS members do not apply for exemptions. The first one, the DVA and the national instruction is very clear in respect of as and when you apply for exemption that you are not going to take departmental steps against SAPS member. You must give detailed reasons as a supervisor or as a manager or as a commander why you are not going to do that. So you'll find that those particular applications or exemptions is not even in detail. Then we'll normally send them back, refusing to grant those particular applications for exemptions. Then lack of understanding of the DVA by SAPS members. And you'll find that the issue of training, most SAPS management or even provinces, they will indicate that they even have records that they have trained all their SAPS members as far as the DVA is concerned. But you'll still find challenges where SAPS members, as and when you walk into a station, saying that we know nothing as far as the DVA is concerned. The existence of a culture of silence around domestic violence and the lengthy period taken to discipline such members. The last slide, thanks very much.
Thank you, is that all? Okay, thank you very much. It's a very difficult job that you do. I think the presentation for me is straightforward. It's just for information sharing, unless if members do have questions that they would want to raise. My only concern is the continuous mentioning of the lack of understanding of implementation of Domestic Violence Act. How are we going to overcome that? If there's anything that you can advise us, you know, as to what is it that can be done, maybe from our side, that can ensure that we make people aware of this act and they should stop committing mistakes when they apply it. One part of the presentation that was also quite interesting for me was the types of non-compliance. You have to be sharp, you know, when you deal with this, and you can commit many mistakes. I could understand the reason why you still say there's a lack of understanding on implementing this. The awareness campaign, you spoke about that. I was just thinking, you know, I've walked through many police stations. I've never seen any sign of ICD. You've also said you have done public awareness through community outreach programs. I don't know if that you've done that, but people don't know about you. And we still have people who will call you and say, like, for example, I have a case in, someone called me from where? Bloom is from Free State, ne? Bloom, yeah, someone called me from Free State. Ne? Yeah, Bloom. Someone called me from Free State. There was a case of abuse. The police didn't open a case. They've got photos of a victim and all that, you know, of a child who was abused and all that. And honestly, I didn't know how to deal with it, and they're still waiting for my report. They call me all the time. I don't know what is within my right to call that officer directly. What are the line of communications, you know? Maybe those are the things that we need to start working on, to say as MPs, as councillors, as members of legislatures, when we encounter such cases in our constituencies, who do we talk to? Do we directly confront those police officers, or there's a person that we can talk to directly? You know, those are the things that I think at this level we need to start resolving, because I can assure you, members do come across such cases. And then, lastly, I think there would be a need to invite, maybe to have this kind of a session for all members of parliament, so that in their PCOs, when they do their constituency work, they can also be empowered about the ICT and all that. I don't know, I'm just suggesting. Okay, over to you, members.
Thank you, Chair. Let me take the two terms. Also, this informative presentation is very good. And okay. But Chair, I'm just checking on the challenges. Chair, it's very serious, Chairperson, when I'm looking at the challenges. I don't know how long it's going to take now to correct these challenges. And I don't know, Chairperson, whether I'm right when I say that we also need as a committee to call also the Minister for Police also to come to our meeting also, because it's also subs, I don't know what's wrong. And also on slide 21, sorry, there's also, I don't know whether they said that the 508 registers are not completed properly, what. I don't know, Chad, whether it's ignorance or what. So that's why I said that there's a lot need to be done in SAPS about the, whether it's a workshop or what, because to not to fill the forms, now there's somebody who's going to suffer at the end. it's a lot, I don't know, not to register, not to fill the forms correctly. There's somebody, maybe the victim is going to suffer. So there's something that needs to be done, Chairperson. So I think this presentation is very good because it gives us clear what is it happening in the institution. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I'd also like to thank the department on the presentation. On page 20, for argument's sake, the ICT visited 177 police station audits. That's up to June 2010. Of course, there's hundreds of police stations all over. And I suppose as you go to the more remote areas, so there's more non-compliance. So it'd be interesting to see where these stations are situated, because it just, you know, gives you figures here, but it doesn't say which provinces. But apart from that, is this goes up to 2010, 2012, please, if we could get some more figures, these updated, you know, and then we get a better overall picture for the 2 years. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Yes, with regard to the latest reports, maybe just to indicate, because we ceased to have this function after April, we're consolidating the 2011 two reports with until March. So that will be tabled next month. So we will then have a complete update with regard to the matter. Then I think... Yeah, I think the important point that is made is where is the question of domestic violence, where is it in terms of the priorities of the different agencies? I think that is the big issue. We I think, and maybe Mr. Sorgus spoke that, I mean, we spend a lot of resources and effort to this matter. It's now not anymore with us, but the importance is it must be part of the strategic targets of these organizations, and importantly, on page 2, no, it's with the National Secretariat, Secretariat, Police Secretariat. But the important thing is also on slide 3, what was in the old Act, that SAPS management must respond to our reports. That is the most important issue, and that's why I think the suggestion that there should be an interaction with the SAPS management is quite important. Mr. Sok will deal with the rest.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, and all members. I think the ED is right. You see, the problem is about commitment on the part of the South King Police Service to implement this Act. You realize from our slides, we say we also engage in actual workshopping members with regard to this. It's not our function to do that. We do it because when we do these audits, we realize the level of non-compliance, and this is our intervention to try to say, let's try and help them in terms of getting them to comply. Now, I think the silent feature of our presentation is that we receive cases, and remember, in terms of the Act, where there are cases of non-compliance by members in terms of the Act, the South Kenya Police Service has got an obligation to report this non-compliance to us. In fact, every month there are also specific time frames in terms of the national institutions. They must send returns to the ICD in terms of those non-compliance matters. But that rarely happens. In fact, most of the time you get nil returns. Only we then receive these complaints of non-compliance from the general public. They come to our offices and complain that there was non-compliance. So these numbers that you see is actually 100% from the complaints that we receive ourselves. We don't really get these returns from the SAPS. That's one challenge. Secondly, despite the fact that the SAPS says to us, we have trained our members. And in fact, in some cases, your provincial commissioners would even give you a list or a register that shows these are the members that have been trained. But when you go to the stations and do the audit, you find that members say they don't know the act. You know, they don't know how to implement. One of the things that we identified as a challenge is that you find that they have a specific person at a station to deal with domestic violence. So this person will basically be the champion in the station on domestic violence. But the rest of the members, they don't see it as their responsibility, to an extent that they don't get to familiarize themselves as they should with the act. And hence we receive this kind of a level of non-compliance. I think that's one issue. And when you also do these audits, we try to explain to them that domestic violence implementation is a responsibility of every member of the South African Police Service. It's not for a specific person. So that any person who goes to the station at any given time, he should be able, when he enters this community service center, he should be able to get help in terms of this act. So those are the issues that we raise with them. Chairperson, it's a policy issue that. My advice is, I don't think it needs a special unit. Remember, the act is very clear. It affects every member of the police. So as long as you have a badge, you have an obligation in terms of the act. So it means all police officers, without exception, must know this act and the national instructions in terms of this act, and be able, when required to do so, to be able to implement it as required by the act. So there are no exceptions. Everyone. Now, the important thing, in my view, is that you need management commitment. In some of the forums where we engage with them, one of the things I've asked is that, do you have, for instance, this domestic violence act, the implementation in the PAs of your station commanders? Is it specific in their PAs that we expect you to do this in terms of the domestic violence? And I don't think that's the case. So in my view, we need to have that kind of level of commitment. We've indicated in our report, for instance, that the SAPS also has to report to Parliament on these matters every 6 months, as we are enjoined by the Act to report, as we are reporting now. I'm not sure if they have tabled their report. One of the issues that we've raised with them is that when we do this station audit, we do reports and send them these reports, identifying the problems that we identified in the stations. Our expectation is that there should be a response to these reports, so where they will indicate how they are going to deal with those challenges that we've raised in the reports. And unfortunately, in most of the cases, we don't get a response to these reports. And that is why you see in our reports, you find in most cases we are saying we are still awaiting their responses, because once there's a case of non-compliance, they must either discipline that member or apply to us for an exemption. But you find that it takes quite a long time. We have now transferred all the matters that we had on domestic violence to the Secretariat, because it's no longer part of our mandate. Now they must follow up on all those outstanding matters. And most of the matters that we transferred to them are those matters where we were still waiting for responses from the SAPS, whether they are going to discipline their members or they are applying for an exemption. I hope I've covered all the issues that have been raised, Chairperson.
Maybe Chairperson, while Mr. Hamdan is coming from the Free State, maybe he must deal with that specific query you have, and we'll come back to you regarding that.
Thanks, Chairperson. In respect of our public awareness campaigns, in terms of our previous threat plan, we have targets that for a we'll conduct so many community outreach campaigns, and each and every province will take a share out of the national total there. Then, as and when we conduct those particular community outreach campaigns, we'll talk about the mandate of the department in respect of our main mandate, and as far as our mandate, as far as the domestic violence is concerned, and what is expected also from SOSAP's members. And we'll also even invite the stakeholders, meaning that the station commander of this particular area will be invited, as well as the public protector and the South African Human Rights Commission and other stakeholders to those particular public awareness campaigns. And we're able to reach those particular targets that we have set ourselves to conduct those particular community outreach campaigns. In respect of these particular matters, like Dr. Sogo has indicated, as and when all these particular matters, most of them that we have received, these are complaints that we have received from the community or the public themselves, not even from SAPS. So it is unfortunate that even this one, because as and when you receive this particular individual from your constituency for a particular province, then in those particular cases you just engage the provincial head of that particular province, then they will deal with that particular matters with the members who are on standby. The honourable member asked about the station audits in remote places and the names of the stations. Our tabled reports that we have tabled in Parliament for that particular period, we have indicated all the stations that we have visited in respect of the station audits, in respect of places for public awareness campaigns, in respect of the workshops, the stations that we have conducted the workshops, and also the proactive oversight as far as the station audits are concerned. Thanks.
Okay. Lastly from me, how do you source your information? How do you source your information, especially on cases related to domestic violence? That information, how reliable it is?
Yeah, I think Mr. Sokol will do the technical issue, but I think the one important thing, I think all role players will admit, is that there is underreporting of non-compliance, and there's underreporting in general in society about domestic violence matters. That's why we believe it should be one of the strategic targets of any organization that deals with this function. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Mainly our information is from the complaints that come directly to us. When we do station audits, that's also an important area at the stations themselves where we get information. For instance, when we go through the register will tell us that there was a reporting of a domestic violence by a member of the public, for instance. Then we would check what action did the police take? Was the victim advised of his right in terms of his or her rights in terms of the Domestic Violence Act? Did the victim get a protection order? If she did get a protection order, is that information captured in these registers we're referring to? Is there a copy of the protection order at the station? Is there a copy of a warrant? Because these things, the reason why the legislature put these things in place was to ensure that where the contravention happens and the victim runs to the station, doesn't have to look for the protection order or the warrant, just have to run to the station and say, I have a protection order, they should be able to go through their records and be able to get that protection order and be able to act on it. So our information is sourced from those kind of audits.
You know, I'm asking this because the previous week we went for an oversight visit in the Eastern Cape, and we just decided to go and visit one police station in one of the remote rural areas. You know the senior person there, is it the station commander? He doesn't even know his staff component. He doesn't know the areas that he is covering, let alone issues related to domestic violence, you know. Hence I'm saying sometimes we move and we think everybody's moving with us, and we leave the most important people, especially services that are provided for people in rural areas. Hence I'm asking that, you know, because of if you don't know your staff component, I mean, that police station is small, man. Those people, they're less than 20, but he's unable to say 20. He might not know them by names, you know. It was so interesting. Every time we ask him a question, he picks the phone, then he calls the secretary on the other office. SEC, kutwa sibanga kiapa. Oh, kutwa si 20, then we are dropped. SEC, kutwa si cover how many areas? I mean, you know. So, you understand what I'm saying? And such people, I think somewhere there's a forum where they're expected to go and report. So if you are unable to tell areas that you cover, how many areas you cover, and your staff component, I don't think it's a true reflection like you're saying. Okay. Well, it's fine. Maybe now in the next term, we should find a way of inviting the National Police Secretariat. Will they be in possession of an updated report?
Your chairperson, maybe just to indicate the 2011 reports we're going to combine with until March, because we don't want to spend unnecessary money having three different reports. So it's going to be a combined report, and that will be tabled in the next month, and we'll make it available then to you.
All right, thank you very much. Have a safe journey back home, and I hope to see you soon again in the near future. Thank you very much for coming. That concludes our business for the day. Member Sonatia Dara, we'll give you a copy of our second term program. Third term program. We'll do that. But tell me, that book, does it have contact people? People that we can always contact if there's anything, you know, in provinces. The Free State one, now I'm still with it, but I need to know whether I should. You did not respond on protocol. Is there any protocol that needs to be observed? Or you can just directly talk to the officer. It's one thing that that was left unanswered. We need to.
Yeah, no, Jefferson, you can contact any officer or any management, basically.
Okay.
Because this DVA is no longer a part of IPID mandate.
Mm-hmm.
In the provinces, you can contact the secretariats because they are dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is nothing precluding you from phoning the provincial commissioner or the cluster commander, the commander there, to deal with those matters.